Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is going to be a jam-packed session today. I think you guys are going to walk away with a ton of information and next steps. And I just want to start by saying that I have been working with bright and quirky kids and families for about 15 years in my private practice and in Bright and Quirky as a licensed marriage and family therapist. And the things I'm going to be sharing with you today, I didn't learn in grad school. I didn't learn in any continuing education classes. It was really by interviewing hundreds of experts over the years, working with thousands of parents, raising my own two kids. And now we have a pretty good handle on what works. And I know if you're raising a bright and quirky child, and just so you guys know, when I say bright and quirky, they don't have to be, officially assessed as gifted. It's just, I sort of think people are all bright in their own way. And we're going to talk about that today. So I want you to know that if this week is resonating for you, you belong here. So I just want you to know that. Let me open up my chat. All right. Now, I think there's something in our society that has done our kids a disservice, but I understand why it is the way it is. A lot of the kids that you are parenting, the reason you're here this week, is because they have certain challenges in life. And many of them have probably received diagnoses like ADHD, autism, anxiety, a learning disability like dyslexia or dysgraphia, dyscalculia. And when we get a diagnosis, that means that there's been a number of symptoms, and we can check the boxes that our child has these symptoms, and we can all experience some of these symptoms, but when they're getting in the way of daily life is when they meet criteria for the diagnosis. But the big problem, even though diagnoses can be hugely helpful because they give us access to services, let insurance pay for things, give us a common language, but they only take the challenges and help our kids remove the challenges. Now that works with diabetes or heart disease or, things in the medical system that get a diagnosis too. But when it comes to who our kids are, let me tell you, I have interviewed hundreds of bright and quirky adults, and they don't build their futures on their weaknesses. They build their futures on their strengths. And when you go to a doctor or a psychologist, if you get a really good psychologist, especially one that knows bright and quirky kids, like Dr. Dan and the Summit Center, who we work with a lot here at Bright and Quirky, they will assess for strengths as well. But most people, when they get a diagnosis, their kids are not assessed for strengths. So that has been a big missing piece. So I like to ask the question, not what's wrong with this child, what does this child need help with? But the question that I really like is, what will help this child be successful? And we know from the Harvard study, having at least one friend and a spare, having those positive relationships, and building their future on their strengths and interests. So that's where I want to dive into making friends through strengths and interests. And then one more piece. And let me boil this, my philosophy, into a picture. And Casey, let's go ahead and show the sailboat because really a picture's worth a thousand words. And you guys, this took me 15 years to figure out. So I'm going to save you 15 years of scrambling. I like to think of our kids' lives as a sailboat. Let's look at the sail. We help our kids put wind in their sails by focusing on their strengths and interests 2 to 1 over their challenge areas. Okay. And then Number two here, we help our kids be calm and self-regulate. We work on our own regulation, our own management of our irritations and frustrations, so we can make our home a safe haven. And then what we also need to do, which is sort of the traditional mode, is lift our child's anchor by putting certain supports in place, whether it's medication for ADHD or anxiety, or executive function coaching, or anti-anxiety skill building. And that's sort of the traditional way. So, but what's not traditional is having all three pieces. And what we're going to do today is we're going to work on number one and number three. We're going to work on building on the strengths and interests. And in our second exercise, doing a little assessment to raise their anchor. And then number two, which is emotional regulation, we don't have time for today, but in the Bright and Quirky Idea Lab, which is our parent learning community, and Casey, you can put the link in the chat, we have a whole roadmap for emotional regulation. Just so you know, it's very comprehensive, but we can't cover it today. All right. Casey, we can go ahead and stop sharing that. Okay, guys, what I need you to do is get a scrap piece of paper or two, ideally two. And I just use computer paper. And we're just going to do this as a quick and dirty exercise. And let me just wait a moment. I see people getting their scrap paper. I'm going to review a little bit in the chat. Okay, yes, the sailboat's in the workbook. The sailboat's in the workbook. Okay, now on your piece of paper, we're doing a mind map. I want you to draw a circle in the middle and then four circles out and then some lines connecting to the middle circle. Now, the reason I said get two pieces of paper is because the first thing we're going to do is about you. Because I want you to know, I want you to have the experience of what it's like to mine for your own strengths and interests. And if this is just flowing for you, then go ahead and make a second one for the first child you want to do this for. And you can work a, you could do them both at the same time, or just focus on the one we're doing for you today. And then you could do it with your child or for your child after. I'll say more about that. Okay, so go ahead and put your name in the middle circle. Your name, your parent name in the middle of the circle. Now I'm going to ask you a question. And Casey, I'm going to ask you to type this in the chat. On one of your outside circles, it doesn't matter which one, if you had nothing to do today, what would be your five favorite things to do? If time didn't matter, what would you do? What's just really enjoyable for you? And if you are doing it at the same time for your child, which you don't need to, you can put that, what your best guess is for them too. And just to give you a sense, some things that are on my list, I put reading, cooking, pickleball, hiking, foodie meals. One of my sons is a foodie. We like to go out for foodie meals, like kind of cool restaurants, and dance. I really love to dance. All right. Yeah. And feel free to put them in the chat. You could do mind map, chat, whatever mode works for you. Okay. Question number two. What are you naturally good at, or what things come easily to you? Please be as specific as possible. What are you naturally good at, or what things come easily to you? So the first one we did was what do you enjoy? And now we're doing what are you good at? I have one son who's really great at math, and I don't mind public speaking at all. And I think when you're young, you just figure that's easy for everybody. And then as we get older, we realize, no, actually, that comes easily to me, and it doesn't come easily to other people. Some of the things I put in my circle for good at were interviewing, writing, teaching, coaching, learning. I love to learn. I have a little book habit. I have a little habit with Amazon coming to my house. And we have a mall near us. If anyone is near me on the east side of Seattle, Crossroads Mall has a Barnes and Noble and a House of Books. Like, that is my idea of heaven. So you've got your enjoy circle and your good at circle. All right. The next circle is three things you're curious to try or learn more about or do more of. What are three things you're curious to try, learn more about, or do more of? And oh, Annie's good at gardening. I'm so jealous. I really want to be good at gardening, but I'm not. Oh, good at being a friend and good at organizing stuff. Isn't it great when you see someone who's good at things that you aren't good at? Okay, Annie, I don't know if you have a business in organizing, but I could use some help. I need to do like a closet edit. Okay. Some of the things on my curious about list are pickleball, strength training, marketing. And don't be surprised if you start to see themes. Themes of things that are showing up in one or more circles. Just ask you really quick, and you could put this in your second mind map or next to what you've written, really, whatever works for you. Think about the child that you have that brought you here to this friendship week. Now, I used to do this exercise as an interview, like interview your child, and we had too many kids who were like, I don't know. So, let me just ask you to guess. Leaving this session, maybe tonight at dinner, maybe this weekend, if you were to ask your child, just tell me if you had nothing to do today, what would be your five favorite things to do? What do you guess they would say? What do you see them doing in their free time? Just jot that down really quick. You're knitting, cosmetology, and pottery. Wow. You have a child who likes to make gunpowder. We got some quirky kids here under his father's supervision. And then they blow it up in pie foil pie plates in the driveway. And if you ask them, or just through your own powers of observation, what are they naturally good at? And it is okay for video games to go on your list. Kids actually learn a lot in certain video games. I know video games are on a lot of lists. And what used to crack me up is my son, when he was like, I don't know, 8 or 10, would be in the back seat with his friends and they were talking about video games. So even when they're not playing, it was like the topic of conversation. That's totally fine. And then what do you think they might be curious to try? Chess or bowling? And this is why we put the interest list in the workbook. So if you need a little cheat sheet, some a little cute prompt to get the juices going, jewelry making, ice skating, sketching, soap making, digital arts, baking, biking, baton twirling. There's a list there. Casey's our coordinator of all the things. She has such a superpower in just getting stuff done. Casey, I revere you. Talk a little bit about your interests if you can. Because you You had a very specific one that led to more friendships for you, right?
Yeah, I did. And I think this might apply to some kiddos out there that are in the that are bright and quirky. So, like a lot of the our bright and quirky kiddos, I was very much into Dungeons and Dragons growing up. And I'm a very artistic person. I'm a creative person, so I was pretty shy. Especially during my teen years in high school, I'd be the kid with the sketchbook over in the corner, like next to the classroom, like drawing. And I had a couple friends that were similar to me, and I got into D. I see people in the chat that love D&D. Yeah. I got into it. My father actually was in special education for 30 years. The game came out in the 70s, and he actually started to incorporate that into his classes with the kiddos, and they loved it. And so he brought that home to us. And what I found happened was, I was trying to put a group together, and I had very little people at the time. And then I had a neighbor that heard about it, and he was on the football team, and he had a friend on the football team. He's like, "Can I bring him to one of our sessions and play?" And we were doing it in person at this time, which is one of the beautiful things about D&D. It could be played online or in person. And I was like, okay, I don't know this kid. I'm really open to it. We're all going to be playing our own characters and making things up. There's a complete safety zone here. And he came over, and I remember they just lit up. It was so much fun. And our group actually grew from there to the point where I remember I had like out of body times where I'd look around the room at my group. And we'd be sitting eating pizza and talking. And I look at each kid and realize they were all from like almost a different group in high school, different clique, different walk of life. And to the point where I could go up to people I maybe wouldn't have even considered talking to and say, hey, and in the hallway and just be like, that was a great game the other week. And they were like, yeah, it was awesome. So it was a big game changer for me and a very, very special memory to now as an adult, if I can reach out to those people, and that's the memory we all click with. And it was so
I love
special
that.
to us. Yeah,
Oh, I love
it's
that.
amazing.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, so that cues us up well for our next step, which is look at all of your circles, and I want you to circle three things that meet two criteria. A, that can be done with more than one person. And B, you're curious or excited about. Because my next question is going to be, what is one small step you can take to fuel one of these strengths in the next week or two to meet other people? Because we all need to work on our friend-making skills throughout our lifespan. And then let me know in the chat, what are your three? Mine are pickleball. You probably sense the theme here. Hiking. And learning marketing. I'm thinking I could find an in-person class at a college or something. Okay. Circle four. Circle four, please, is your top three things that can be done with more than one person and that you're curious about. Okay, so in my mind map, I've got what I enjoy, what I'm good at, what I'm curious about, and then the top three that could be done with more than one person, and I'm kind of excited about. All right. And that is our first exercise. So let me know in the chat now, and maybe we could hear from Jim. What are your top three? And what are you going to do in the next week or two to pursue it? So for me, it's pickleball. I Googled indoor pickleball places, and there's one about 20 minutes from here because we get a lot of rain in Seattle. And we took a lesson. We took a group lesson, and there's like eight people in the class and met some people. And then that led to what they call open play every Sunday at from 2 to 4, and there was like tons of people there. So I'm definitely not one of the better players, but I'm meeting a lot of people and having a lot of fun. For one of my kids, this is actually a story that is like, you have these family stories that go down in infamy. So I talk all the time about being a cell scientist. Excuse me, guys, I'm running over a cold. And Jack loved to dance. And he was into fashion and skateboards and the whole hip hop scene. So I'm like, honey, it would be a really natural bridge to try hip hop class. And he's like, I don't know, I don't know. And I was saying the other day in one of our after session coffees, try not to ask your kids a yes no question because the answer will almost always be no. So I have a magical phrase, which is, it would mean the world to me if. It would mean the world to me if we try one hip hop class. So we went. I really enjoyed it. He wanted nothing to do with it. And I said, you know what, honey? I consider this experiment a success because you can carve off the list. You can cross off the list something you don't want to do. And you actually know what you're saying no to now versus not trying at all. So he did fall in love with weightlifting coming out of the pandemic. There was a whole group of boys who were weightlifting, and it's 24-hour fitness. And then they became older teenagers and they'd go at 11 o'clock at night just because they could. So we dabble to figure out the thing. All right, Jim, love to hear from you. What's your experience?
Yeah, like in terms of my like the three that I'm that are coming up here for me.
Yeah, and maybe even in the past, what the
Well,
light in your eyes?
I'm certainly going to echo what Casey said about D&D. Like it literally, as a bright and quirky teenager, it saved my teenage years. And all these years later, the people that I played D&D with are still my closest friends, like 40 years later. It's a great way to connect and bond, and also I think it's great for kids who are on the spectrum because it gives them a world that they can control and understand, and gives them an excuse to have conversations and get engaged in a shared experience. So one of the things I was thinking about was, my daughter's just about finished her exams, and it would be really great to create a D&D group for her, my son, and then a friend of each of theirs to participate, and that would be a real family kind of community experience. One of the things I really wrote down was chemistry, organic chemistry. My daughter kind of that's her area, and I don't know enough about chemistry, but it almost seems like understanding chemical bonds is almost like a three-dimensional language, and it would be really, really fascinating to understand that. And I think if I were to take a first step, maybe I could see what kind of like just enroll in a like a night high school program or something like that to bone up on my chemistry. And then my son got a bike, and this one I've already for his birthday. And I also tuned up my daughter's bike with the thought that I can go out and bike rides with him, so that it's something that we can kind of do together and enjoy nature. But also maybe we can invite some of his friends as well. So those were the things that I had on my list.
Okay, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Fantastic. All right, guys. So we just concluded part one, exercise one for today. I'm trying to solve this a lot today. Your next step coming out of this first exercise is to do the exercise either what I think would work really well is to do it as your best guess, your hypothesis, do it for your child. And then put it in front of them and say, here's what we're doing. We're exploring strengths and interests to find ways to make friends, because these are great ways to find like-minded friends. And I just took a wild guess of what would be on your list. What do you think? And then go through, what do you enjoy? What are you good at? What are you curious about? And then the top three. That's a lot easier than starting with a blank slate. So have fun with that. Someone asked about directions to this exercise. So I think you guys know by now, this Friendship Week is a sample of what we do in our bright and quirky Idea Lab parent learning community. And this is step three of our possibility plan. I've put the whole Bright and Quirky framework into a seven-step plan. It's a digital course. We're going to be going through it starting April 17th. So folks need to be a member by then. And we have a lesson like this every week, and a co-working session with Lauren, one of our coaches, who I think is going to be in our after session coffee today. Our members meet at 11:30 each day after these sessions. So lots of good stuff in the Idea Lab for you. Casey, maybe you can put a link there. And I think what we should do is bring back the coupon I talked about on day one, which is $29 off your first month with the code FRIEND, FRIEND. Okay, FRIEND. All right, and Casey put the link in the chat. Okay, now in your workbook, you have something that looks like this. And Casey, let's go ahead and put that up on the screen. We call this our Wheel of Life check-in. It's kind of a quick and dirty assessment. It's not a formal assessment. It's for educational purposes only. Now, I was working with clients in my private practice, they would say, "Okay, Debbie, what does success look like? Or how long will this take?" And I would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is your child and family are thriving like never before, and a one is you're so in crisis or miserable you can barely get out of bed, when you are at an 8 or higher, I will consider our work well done. And it's difficult to take your whole life over the last month and put one score on it. So what we're going to do now is do that 1 to 10 scale on the areas that are most commonly challenging for Bright and Quirky kids. So I'm going to ask you to make a little dash or put some initials in each triangle of the pie here. So let's start with the yellow one, managing emotions. And let's start with your child. On a scale from 1 to 10, in the last couple weeks, how have they been with managing their emotions? There might be challenging behaviors. There might be like 0 to 60 anger. There might be meltdowns. And that's okay. We've got lagging skills. We've got development at work here where we're not yet often able to self-regulate. And that's something we're working on. So on a scale from 1 to 10, where has your child been in the last 2 weeks? Write their initials there on this little ladder of scoring in the yellow triangle. And just for kicks and grins, put your own score there too for the last 2 weeks. All right, now we're going to go to making friends. My guess is because you're here at Friendship Week that this has been a challenging area. So in this light green box, triangle, go ahead and score where we're at for that. And I know it's hard to pick one number, but usually we look at from a 1 to 4 as struggling quite a bit in this area. 5 or 6 is, hey, I've got some tools, but I probably need some more. And 8 or higher is doing pretty darn well. Okay, next, the light blue triangle. We are going to look at focus and executive function. Executive function is time management, organization, planning, chunking down assignments, follow through. Maybe they can follow a one-step direction like go get your shoes on. But maybe a two-step direction like go brush your teeth and get your shoes on is very difficult. So that would be executive function. Go ahead and score that for your child and for yourself. And the cool thing is, if we have a child who's, like 10 or older, we could potentially do this with them. But we want to couch it in a way of not good and bad, just like taking your temperature, like, oh, it's 60 degrees out today. Oh, where's your thermometer in this triangle? School and learning. So often, traditional schools are not made with our bright and quirky kids in mind. They might not be able to sit still and listen. They might be wiggle worms. They might be struggling in a subject area. Like writing is classically difficult for our kids. Maybe they're not challenged enough. Maybe they need acceleration. They haven't gotten acceleration yet. All right. And, maybe we haven't done advocacy work yet or known how to do it. And just so you guys know, all of these triangles is the work that we do in the Idea Lab. Okay, the periwinkle blue triangle is stress, worry, and anxiety. If we have an anxious child, they might be low on this triangle. They might need some skills. You know how I like to think about anxiety is if we're sitting outside, there might be a snake in the grass approaching, and we should be scared and go into fight or flight if the snake is approaching because we could be in danger. But sometimes our body feels that way, and when we look, it's a pencil in the grass. So what I say to kids is the fear is real, but is the danger real? That's the difference between sort of adaptive anxiety and maladaptive anxiety. Okay, let's go into tech overuse. I love this subject. We did a whole summit on it last spring. Now, if yours is the rare child who's like, okay, I've had my hour of video games, I'm done. When, I'm ready for dinner, can I set the table? Is that being said in anybody's home? People are like, no, it wasn't being said in my home. Are wonderful conversations you can have, great negotiations, great win-win conversations. We're not going to go into that today. But just mark where your child and family are at that. And mark yourself too. How easy is it for you to be off of screens? And then physical factors. What we know now is that exercise, good nutrition, good sleep will help our kids enormously with these sorts of diagnoses and just sort of being at their best. So, how are we doing with the physical factors like sleep, exercise, and good nutrition? And I know if you have a teenager, might not be optimal. I think I was saying yesterday, once my kids, well, one of my kids, once he started driving, it was like all these foods started appearing in our house that I would never buy. And there's lots of conversations about that. And PS, I have to tell you guys, now that he's a junior in college, you would not believe how he's mastered this. And he goes to the grocery store, he makes a big batch of something like stir fry or teriyaki chicken. He has these little like plastic bento boxes and he makes meals for the week. So I just want to tell you this whole idea of being a self-scientist, learning the science, running experiments. When our kids are raised with this mindset and it's never too late, they learn how to do this stuff. Okay, our last triangle, self-esteem. When you are different than the norm, if you are atypical in any way, the brain is a mind-making machine, and it's very common for our kids to come to the conclusion that they're not bright, that they're not good enough at something. And it breaks my heart because I've counseled many grown adults who are still carrying this self-concept around that was formed at a very young age. And that's one of the other reasons it was so important to mine for strengths today, because that is one of the key builders of self-esteem. Okay, now I want you, and you could do that for yourself too, and especially if you're a bright and quirky adult or atypical adult, We might need to do this work for ourselves. Very common. Very common. All right. I'm going to answer questions in a little bit here. I want, as your next step leaving this exercise, I want you to pick one triangle you're going to work on with your child. You get 1 point higher. This is a very important point. We're not shooting for a 10. If you're at a 4, we're shooting for a 5. If you're at a 6, we're shooting for a 7. So let me ask you this. What would the next number up look like for you? You know, boy, I could spend like 2 more hours on this topic, but you know, let me give you a really easy example. And we talk about lots of examples in the possibility plan that we'll be going through in the membership. But like for executive function, if I wanted to go from a 5 to a 6, the experiment I might run would be creating a launch pad near the door we're going to walk out of, which is simply a space, or it could be a basket or anything, and say, "Hey guys, we're finished with dinner. Why don't you put your items you're going to need for tomorrow on your launch pad spot?" And we can have a little sticky note and say, "For soccer practice, we need shin guards. We need a ball, we need a water bottle, we need a snack." So we get launch padded for the next day. And I always say homework is not done till homework is in the folder, folder's in the backpack. Okay, is your homework in your folder and is your folder in your backpack? And you want to be a broken record to the point where they're like, "Yes, mom, it is. Homework's in the folder, folder's in the backpack." So we have so many of these experiments we can run. Okay. Easy. We can stop sharing. Let's go into Q&A. Raise your digital hand. If you have a question, and every day we've been giving away a $25 Starbucks card. They're going to be processed early next week. And let me know in the chat any aha moment you've had, either about your strengths and interests, your child's, or where we want to go 1 point higher in one triangle. Like, what is your aha and your action step leaving the session? And give me like a juicy couple of sentences in the chat, not just one word. Okay. And while we're doing that, you can raise your hand for the Q&A we're about to do. And let me talk once more about the Bright and Quirky Idea Lab. Or maybe Jim should talk about it. Jim is such an eloquent speaker. I don't want to put you on the spot, Jim, but can you just give us a like really quick your before you joined and now? And I know you're in our video that we've been showing, but do you want to just say a little bit about that for parents who are like, "Sounds interesting, but I just don't know what to expect. I don't know if it'll really help."
I guess really quickly, because I joined a couple of years ago when there was a summit and right in the middle of COVID, and I've been to so many different of the different seminars about, promising the world, and they all disappointed. And a friend of mine said, "Hey, you've got two TUI kids. Why don't you check this out?" And sent me the link. And I have to say, my expectations weren't very high, but the caliber of experts at the summit and then throughout, because there's like a couple expert talks every month, and the assets that we've got to learn about things like pathological demand avoidance, or making friends, or tech overuse, or like everything. Like, I've just been blown away by Caroline's content this week. I thought this was a subject I knew a lot about, and I realize now I'm just scratching the surface. So first, there's the knowledge. Second, I think the big realization is that a lot of the big problems that we were having in our home was that we weren't regulating ourselves as parents, and learning how to kind of like change the temperature of the house to turning down our mood a little bit so our kids felt safe. That was a huge deal. And there's a whole section in the possibility plan around something called polyvagal theory that has just been absolutely transformational. And after 2 years, when I came into the Idea Lab, our son was in a bad place. I had this relationship with my daughter, who is really, really bright, but I'd created a relationship where she was demand resistant to just about anything I had, and we had a terrible relationship. And now we've redefined our relationship. I'm able to support her in the areas where she requests support, and our relationship now is based on love rather than get those marks, get your marks up, because she's self-motivated. She's By stepping back, she's found her own motivation, and she's just blossoming. So, Debbie, I don't know if that answers your question. My son is really moving on a wonderful path, and we're all in a better mental space. The whole mood in the household is just different.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Jim. That's amazing. I've been reading the comments in the chat, and there's one thing I want to make sure that I say, which is if you found that your child is low in a lot of areas at the same time, it is okay and you're in the right place, and I'd love to work with you in the Idea Lab. What happens is as you start to raise on the Thrive Score in one triangle, has a ripple effect into the other triangles. If things are hard at school and we're advocating at school and we get some supports in place, the emotional regulation has sort of a corollary, or we make a friend and the emotional regulation gets better, or we make a friend online and play a video game and we have a certain stop time and actually a scheduled time to play the game, then tech overuse gets helped by that. So there, it's a web. It's a web. And we call it the snowball effect. Once and success begets success. Once you start feeling success in one area, the success keeps growing. And we look at that happening in 1% gains or one level up in each triangle for each score. And the Idea Lab costs $67 a month, which, as you know, is like half of one therapy session. And some people say it's way better than therapy. We'll let you know if anything you're dealing with would be better served or in addition to local support from a therapist or an OT or a speech language pathologist. We'll let you know all of that. But if this is resonating for you, please do look into it. At brightandquirky.com/FW for Friendship Week dash Idea Lab. And we really look forward to seeing you there. And we're starting our Bright and Quirky framework, the possibility plan, April 18th. And you're going to learn the entire framework and go from being confused or having sort of like an abstract blob of overwhelm to a really clear path. Okay. Let's see here. Karen Y, you are the winner of today's Starbucks card. In doing the exercise, I realized how much brain space our weaknesses and struggles take up versus noticing and recognizing our strengths. This is especially true when you are living with executive function challenge that permeates most moments of the day. Yes, so true, so true. And I'm so glad you got that from today. Because, like I said, our medical system, our school system is structured around diagnoses and deficits. So, I am really happy if you got that paradigm shift to a strength-based future for your child. And I'm not saying don't do any supporting scaffolding, all of that great stuff. Let's focus on strengths, 2 to 1. All right, and I forgot to say the coupon code again is FRIEND, FREND in all caps, for $29 off the first month. Okay, let's go into questions. Fran, love to hear from you. And guys, the sooner you can get your hands up, the more I can make sure we use our time wisely here and get you out of here within an hour. Okay, Fran, love to hear from you.
So I had a question just about the I had a lot of questions, but about the Wheel of Life check-in. Do you suggest doing this with a child if you know they're going to score very low on the majority of areas? Like, how would you do that to not demotivate them to look at this wheel and see that all the scores are below the 5 mark? And
Yeah, if you don't think it's going to be uplifting, if you know that already, I would say just go with the knowledge that you have, and then let's start problem solving, and getting the start in one triangle and get them to the next level. So I think your intuition is correct in this case, and let's get some progress under our belt before we go there.
And what do you do if you have a child that just doesn't have a lot of interests that include other people? So, sometimes your child just is really only interested in doing things that are not really inclusive of others. And how do you work with this
Yeah, so
framework?
tell me, how old is the child, and what are those top three interests?
She's 12. She likes to play with her dogs, hang out with me, and watch her tablet. Those would be her top.
Okay. Are there any things that you wrote down? Even school subjects that she enjoys or is good at or curious about.
I focused more on myself today because I get to both, but I mean she does like chorus, so she does like to sing, so that's something that she does do.
Awesome. Someone like that might want to try a class in children's theater or improv. You don't know where you live.
She's already tried that and she's dropped out.
Okay. So here's how I would approach this friend. I would say, I was in this workshop. I didn't even know this, that having a one friend and a spare is as important as eating vegetables and exercising and sleeping. So let's run an experiment. You get to choose, you totally get to choose what we do, but we got to choose one thing. Try to meet other people. And maybe we start at the dog park. And maybe we start by just talking to one adult at the dog park just to see what it's like to say, hey, is your dog a border collie? What do you like about your dog? So let's practice in our zone of comfort, and then we can keep stretching and broadening. And be a spy, as Caroline was talking about. When do you see the light in your child's eyes? What is she talking about? What is she watching on TV? I'm guessing she watches YouTube videos on different things. What is she watching YouTube videos on? Does she like Taylor Swift? Does she like crafting? Does she like singers? There's so many things to try. And I would take this approach that we need to be self-scientists, and this is a muscle that, there's no rush to have a big giant Hulk muscle tomorrow in this area. But let's chip at it away at it a little bit every week by going to the dog park or whatever is of interest. Is that enough to go on, Fran?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you bet. All right. My phone. Love to hear from you. My phone in the pink top.
Oh, me?
Yes, you.
Hi, hi.
Hi.
How are you? So, I mean, I actually had the opposite problem, and it still has been no successful. I mean, my son loves to do a lot of activities, and he has always wanted to try to different things, but somehow, I mean, he started interacting with the other kids, and somehow there are kids that avoided him. He talks a lot, is very approachable. I mean, like, he just over talk about the things, and I don't know how to. I mean, it seems that the kids starting getting avoid from and no be contact with him. So it's been a long try that. He's been in that several things, but it's just not been getting any real friend or any friend that I can consider that he's close to.
He's okay, 11. So tomorrow is for you. The tools we're going to be, that Caroline's going to be talking about tomorrow are specifically about over-talking and monologuing. And I'm not sure if you were here yesterday, but the tools we covered yesterday are also really important. So I mean, you have it made. If he has interests that he knows he wants to pursue, that is the hardest part. Now, we need to use the tools to understand that conversation is a tennis game where we send it over the net and it comes back over the net. We send it over the net. And tomorrow we're going to cover a tool called Build On It or Build On That, how to build a conversation. And I think it'd be great to watch it with your son. How old is he?
He's 11.
11. So perfect. Perfect. And then when you're at home talking, I remember I used to use this question a lot. Are you monologuing or are you dialoguing?
Okay.
And then we have very concrete things like, how about you talk about this for 2 minutes? And then take a pause and let us ask a question about it. So we really, in a non-shaming, non-blaming way, say, you know, are we playing tennis right now in our conversation? What could we do next to play tennis? But our words.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay. Keep me posted. All right. Okay. Jordan and Christine, which one are you?
Jordan has the baby right now. So.
Okay.
Hi, Christine. Hi. So I was going to ask, I actually have, I'll ask about my two oldest. They're completely different problems. My first one is super popular at his co-op, very outgoing. His teacher is like, you know, how do you make more of him? But he doesn't have any real friendships. Like he walks down the hallway and everybody's like, hey, hey, hey. But he doesn't like get together outside of class. So he has no trouble meeting people and talking to people, but he doesn't know how to take it further.
Yep.
He has ADHD pretty severely, but he is a smart kid, does really, really well at school, but he's just, you know, I know he has ADHD.
So. Yeah. So this is the classic extrovert's dilemma. Typically an introvert doesn't have as much problem getting one friend in a spare. An extrovert, like you're saying, may have more surface level relationships. So the question I would ask them is, if you could pick three people or one person or two people that you would like a deeper relationship with, who would that be? And then we talked with Caroline a little bit about next. Once you identify this person and flavors of friendship, I don't know if you were here with us yesterday, but
that's the one I missed because we were co-oping all over the place.
Okay, so catch the replay if you can. And you might even want to watch it with your kids and just say, hey, guys, do these tools speak to you? You know, if you're a homeschooler, you know, this might be a really great conversation. And so we think about the flavors. We talked about the flavors of friendship, acquaintance, buddy, friend, bestie. Who are one to three people you would like to take to the next flavor of friendship? And then what would a good next step be? And brainstorm it, you know, well, and build on the strengths we're identifying here. Well, I would like to play a video game with this person. I would like to, you know, if we're going out to brunch on the weekend, let's invite them. Are we going for a hike or a bike ride? Let's have them over to play Legos. Propose the next
He's
step
17,
once you're
and I don't know.
Oh, 17.
I don't know because I was like, well, maybe you can go hang out at the mall and talk, or you know, or maybe you can go out and have food because I was trying to come up with things he could do with them if you wanted to take it. And my husband's like, that's what girls do. That's not, I'm like, well, I don't know what 17-year-old boys do. So,
okay, I've had two of them. What are his interests?
He's just really into thinking about his future.
What's in his future?
He's created like things to teach people on how to take the ACT because he's a junior, but he's already gotten perfect on a couple of the sections. And he's just like really motivated to have, he wants to travel. He wants to do things with his life to make a difference. He's very intellectual. So he likes to study methods of becoming more, I guess, better at his executive functioning because he knows it's a struggle for him. So, so he's just always learning and doing that type of thing. I don't know, not typical kid stuff necessarily.
You know what pops out at me is, and I know he's a junior, but what do the Brainiacs do? They're eight club. There's robotics. He might want to become a tutor for study skills.
Yeah, he's talked about all those things.
Yeah, maybe he wants to get a part-time job at like a Huntington or a Kaplan or whoever does those ACT things, and have some workmates. Maybe, I don't know if you have like Running Start or college in the high school, but you know, is he in AP classes? Is he doing some more rigorous classes? Could he take a class at community college?
Yeah, I was going to put him in some college classes next year.
Yeah, so that could be a way to get him around more intellectual peers. And Math Olympiad, you know, what chess club? You know, a lot of brainiacs are in chess club. And is his plan, okay, he's a senior, and then is he college bound, do you think?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys could have some really juicy conversations, and maybe you already have about college majors, and that's going to be a great way to figure out who he wants to spend his time with.
Yeah, he likes science.
He likes science. Perfect. Maybe he could be a counselor at a science camp this summer. Maybe you have a science center near you that does science classes. You know, hone in on these specifics. Maybe he has a college in mind, or maybe there's a college nearby that has a great science major, and he could call a professor and say, are you aware of any summer opportunities in science that would help my application to get into this college?
Okay.
There's a few ideas.
Yeah, that's great. And I guess if anybody else, I was going to ask my daughter, she's the opposite. So the one after him is completely the opposite. She is very shy, lots of social anxiety. Someone talks to her, even her friends, if we're like in a group and her friends are there, she won't even talk back to them or look at them. She just kind of shuts down. And I don't know, like we've wondered if she's on the spectrum. Probably, I think my husband, I suspect she probably is. But I don't know how you distinguish between social anxiety versus like she doesn't know how, because around us at home, she can be very, like my husband does D&D with them, with the kids. Nice. And so she's very fun and energetic and witty, but then she gets around people and she just shuts down. So.
Okay. If it is getting in the way of daily functioning, in my mind, the next step would be an assessment. So we can tease apart social anxiety, potentially autism. We don't have enough information yet. So I really think knowledge is power. I like the assessment as the next step. And what we're going to do, whether she meets criteria for a diagnosis or not, is to start doing what we call exposures. But maybe being in the room with a new person is too much. So maybe we watch a movie where someone's making new friends. Like I was talking yesterday about on Netflix, there's Anne with an E. How old is she?
She's 14.
Okay, great. Maybe watch Anne with an E together or any other movie where they're making friends and say, you know, wow, that that looked hard for her. She was accepted there, she was rejected there. What would you do in that case? So maybe it's too much of an exposure to be in the room with other people having to make new friendships, but we can get a little more comfort with the subject first by reading books and watching movies and YouTube videos. All
Okay.
right. There are a few ideas for you. Okay. Any other? We've got one more question we can take, and then we're going to close today's session. And then our members only session, everybody's welcome to join. That is upgrading to membership. And it does take about 30 minutes to process a membership. So if you do join, and then just email Casey at support@brightandquirky.com, and she can get you the Zoom for the next session. Okay, Harmy, love to hear from you. She's unmuting, I think.
Yes, okay, there we go.
There you are. Hi.
Hi there, thank you so much for taking my question. So my daughter is 9 years old and she was diagnosed ASD level one when she was seven. I love these activities that we were doing today and I'd love to do them with her. I find she's tends to be very oppositional when I'm initiating anything. How do I get her buy-in? Because she has made comments in the past, like I have the resource teachers available to her at school. She has a psychologist that she sees. She has the child and youth worker. So she's made comments like, you have so many people helping me. Like, how do I get her buy-in that this is not just another thing?
Yeah. Do you have, are there other family members at home, siblings, partner?
Yep.
Okay.
Partner,
So,
the sibling's too young, but.
okay. So what I would suggest is that you have a fun dinner. Maybe it's pizza and ice cream night. Guys, I was doing this workshop. There's this cool thing I want to do as a family. I want to share with you that I did it for myself and I found it so valuable. I wanted to share it with you guys. And then do the partner first. Very casually, she doesn't need to make a mind map or anything. It's like, oh, partner, those are the five things you enjoy. Sally, what would you, if you were doing this, what would you put in your circle? We're just going to sneak past the amygdala by being so offhanded about it. Oh, and then what are you good at? Oh, Sally, man, remember when your teacher gave you that thing for math, that note about how well you were doing in math? Like, that's definitely on your list. What else is, here's what else I've seen. So instead of asking her for answers, you could just say, here's what I've seen. Am I on the right track? And one
Okay.
of the funniest things that ever happened with my son, he always had difficulty getting started in writing. So one day he had a huge assignment with a huge amount of points. And, we'd be like, write the first paragraph. If you can't do that, write the first sentence. If you can't do that, write the first word. If you can't do that, put your name on the paper. And it just like nothing was working. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to write the first paragraph. So I write the first paragraph. He's like, oh, mom, give that to me. That is all wrong. And then he wrote it. So I'm like, even guessing wrong can be really useful.
Okay.
So just in like ever so offhanded way, like, oh, like you're not even doing the exercise with her. And then we just gently, and maybe it's even a one question over a course of days. I've heard people in our community say that, like I do one question per Saturday, or something like that. Is that
Okay.
enough to go on, Kirby?
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You got it. You got it. Okay. All right, guys. Well, I hope you found those two exercises valuable. Side between the two. So I just did both. And if you found this useful, come on and join us in the Idea Lab. That link for this week is brightandquirky.com/FW, Friendship Week dash Idea Lab. And if there are any other Idea Labbers here who would like to speak about their experience in the Idea Lab, we definitely invite you to do that. Just You could put your hand up or speak. And Ashley, awesome. Think we'll be joining in the Idea Lab. Fantastic. And for today, we'll use that coupon code again, FRIEND, FRIEND. And we look forward to seeing them. And Lauren's here. Lauren's our coach who's going to be running the possibility plan. Lauren, do you want to say something, just like two words about the poss not two words, two sentences about the possibility plan and
Oh,
bring
Debbie,
purpose
I
back
could
here?
give you 10 sentences about the possibility plan. It is such my privilege to facilitate that work with people because I see in that 8-week time expanse so much positive change. I mean, it really, if people want to have the best kind of boiled down information that's been distilled down to be highly effective in a short period of time. It is this work. And we always have a fantastic cohort of people. So there's a real sense of belonging. And it's just so amazing to see people go from that first session to the last one and all of the gains and wins they have cataloged. I'm going to use Carolyn's word, from yesterday back, cataloging those wins. And we do that, and they become very tangible, and we keep building and growing on those. So.
Fantastic. You guys, Lauren is so good at this. So, just so you know, we went to grad school together. We raised our boys together in the same neighborhood. There is no one I would entrust more with my children, with my family. She's my husband and I, we say all the time, we're like, man, Lauren's got the goods. So we're so lucky to have her, and she'll be leading our possibility plan, and it's going to be really cool. All right, guys, I'm seeing lots of people interested in joining. We are so excited to work with you. We'll be doing all the things in the possibility pie, the challenge pie we looked at today. And thanks. We'll see you again tomorrow with Caroline, with the second set of tools. And Christine, oh my gosh, your baby's so cute. And we'll do part two of the toolkit, especially great for monologuers and overtalkers and the art of learning how to do good conversation. All right, my friends, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks. And for members, we'll see you real quick here in the next session. Bye-bye.